Oh, that's the wrong button.
I didn't mean to do that.
All right, here we go.
Now you're playing with power.
What did you do?
Damn it. Well, I thought that was a now you're playing with power, portable power thing.
No, it was just a thing. All right. Well, hey, guess what? That's the beginning of the podcast. Hey, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. Welcome to StadiaCast. What day is it? Sunday. It's Sunday morning, 10 a.m. We record the show live every single Sunday morning at 10 a.m. right here at nerdnest.tv. Lloyd, how's your day been going, man?
My day's been going great. Eating my breakfast snack and having some coffee and talking about injuries and cinnamon apple French toast. So it's been a weird morning.
That's right. That's what you get when you show up early, when you turn on those notifications and you're like, oh, there's a thing. You get the little pre-show stuff and you get the post-show stuff if you stick around after the show as well. If you did not know, we do record the show live, so make sure that you subscribe and turn on all the alerts and everything so that you do get the alerts when we do go live. Speaking of going live, I did a couple of streams this week, so make sure that you head on over to nerdnest.tv and check that out. If you are also here with us live, you can use the Super Chat feature to make sure that we see your message, and we will respond to each and every Super Chat in the second half or the end of the show. And anything else? No, I don't think so. There's other buttons on YouTube. You guys can figure out what they do by clicking on them, and they do support the show. Lloyd, what have you been playing, man?
Been playing a fair bit. On Tuesday, was it Tuesday or was it Wednesday? Wednesday. On Wednesday, Rainbow Six Siege dropped, and we were doing some content. We planned some content, and Google retweeted our go live. So we had some Google people in our stream. It was you started the stream. I joined in your fire team with Richard, and had a really good time with a game that I didn't expect to really enjoy all that much. Still didn't enjoy it that much because I would be alive for about 3 seconds and then I'd get shot in the face and I'd be watching the rest of the round from the sidelines. But what a fun game. I know that I knew there were operatives. I knew there were different kind of hero classes that you'd be choosing. But the game is way different than I thought it would be. And I'm really enjoying it. I got a little bit more time in with it. And then I went through probably the hardest DLC that came with Rainbow Six Siege, which was setting up parental controls. But we'll get into that in a little bit. What have you been thinking of Rainbow Six Siege?
You know, I am a PvE guy. I think we talked about this recently, where we're both very much PvE gamers. We don't generally do a lot of competitive stuff. In the day, I'm not even talking about CSGO or Day of Defeat 2. I'm talking about the original Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat, like back when Steam first launched, you know, and Half-Life 2 came out. Back then, right. I played competitive shooters and stuff like that on my computer forever ago, and I had a lot of fun with it. I remember when Orange Box came out, and I got for my Xbox 360 playing Team Fortress 2. I had an absolute blast. But in the past, I don't know, decade or so, my interest in competitive stuff has really, really waned. And I've just not played hardly any competitive stuff. So when I saw this game, I mean, I know it's 5 years old or 6 years old or whatever. When I saw this game and I was like, oh, okay, it looks cool, but it's not a game for me. I could not be more wrong about that. I'm like I said before, I am not a super competitive gamer. And when it comes to even Rainbow Six Siege, I am still a filthy casual. I don't really care if I win. I just get in there and just try and have fun. But the mechanics of the game are fantastic. I was really worried about playing on controller. My worries are gone. Everybody who was watching my stream kept telling me to watch or to play on mouse and keyboard. I'm perfectly fine on controller. Am I the best on the team? Probably not. But guess what? If I was a mouse and keyboard, I also would not be the best on the team. In fact, I would probably be worse than I am on controller because that's not how I play games. So I feel like there's a lot of people who are going to look at this game at face value and say, this is not a game for me. And it's a shame that we didn't record this show before because the sale is now over. What an insane deal. Like that deal, $99 is what it usually costs, and we got it on Stadia Pro members for $15. I probably would not have bought it if it wasn't so cheap, and I'm so happy that I did. There's going to be a lot of people who say, this game's not for me. You might be wrong. I wish there was a demo. I wish that there was a demo because it's so fun. I had so much fun playing this game. I don't even know how many hours in it this week. I mean, I'm on vacation right now. I just dumped hours upon hours upon hours in this. My son bought the game. We haven't played together yet because he wants to get good first, but which I'm like, all right, fine. I also want to say this is when you play this game, it is a game all about knowing how your operatives work, how they can work together, and knowing the map. So even if you are good at competitive shooters, you are going to be terrible at the very beginning because you don't know, like, this is the best blind corner to hide in. And when I go into the room, I got to make sure I check that blind corner. All of these different strategies that kind of overlap. I feel like this is more of a strategy game or a tactical game disguised as a Twitch shooter. And I could not be more happy with this game. It's so fantastic.
Yeah, and I think even more to your point about how you could be the best competitive shooter ever and you're going to die a lot when you first start this game. Like for the first like 5, 6, 7 games, it's like, okay, I'm hiding. I'm waiting for a guy to come around a corner. Oh, I was shot through a wall. Didn't realize that they could shoot through this wall. Okay, that's great. Okay, I'm going to stand over here. Oh, there's a little hole in the floor. They shot me up through the hole in the floor. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's different than a lot of other games that I've played because I've played a lot of competitive shooters. I'm not the best at them. I don't really enjoy them too much. Like I guess the most competitive shooter I play is Fortnite, and that is you're on an island with 99 other people and you slowly move together and then you get into firefights. It's not like there's 6v6 or 4v4 or 2v2 or whatever the different competitive shooters out there. It's a different beast. And the knowing the maps is just so darn important in this game. So after playing on the stream, I played a little bit more, and it is really good. Like that deal was ridiculous. I was a little disappointed because I had Ubisoft Plus, and I signed up through Stadia on Ubisoft Plus, so I couldn't buy that deal. And then I was trying to figure out a way that I could purchase the deal. I went to Ubi's website. I disconnected or tried to disconnect my Stadia account. It said, well, you have to go back to Stadia. You bought it there. You have to go back there and do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I won't get that deal. And then yesterday, before the deal ended, I came back down and I noticed that on Rainbow Six Siege, I had play through Ubisoft Plus or purchase. There was like a different option there. So I guess I had half disconnected it, but not fully disconnected it because I still had a few days left on my subscription on Stadia, but it was disconnected enough that I could actually go and buy the ridiculous like deluxe edition or not the deluxe edition, the gold edition that was on sale for $20 Canadian. Snag that, played a bunch more. And then my kids were saying, hey, we'd like to play that with you as well. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Excuse me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to buy a couple more copies. By that time, the sale had ended. But then they put another special on where you can get the deluxe edition for, I think it's like $14.95 Canadian.
Okay, so the deluxe edition, what's included in the deluxe edition? Because I think everybody else has the ultimate edition. Oh, Lloyd's coughing. So if you don't know, the Ultimate Edition that we were talking about before comes with all of the characters from Seasons 1 through 5. The Season 6 characters are not included, and the launch characters are not included. So what's included in the Deluxe Edition?
So in the Deluxe Edition, you get Season 1 and 2 only are included with it. And it's on sale for $10 US. I think it's $12.50 Canadian is what I paid for it.
Okay.
So I ended up buying two more licenses for that, which is great. So did that. I have three copies of the game. Went to go play it, and the game wasn't showing up for either of my kids. So I guess there's some sort of parental controls. So immediately go to Google. How do I enable or alter parental controls on Stadia? And it takes me every single search.
Oh boy, he's struggling. He's so upset about this.
I choked on a crumb from my little thing that I ate for breakfast, and it's just bugging me in the back of my throat. Excuse me. So it all brings me back to the same support page where it says, okay, go to stadia.com/families, click your child, set the settings. But I don't have those settings. So like Stadia does normally, they'll make a change. They'll publish that change out to a group of people, see how it goes, and then they'll publish that change out to everybody. So I must be either on the side where I'm getting new stuff and I don't have the stuff that should be there, or the stuff that should be there isn't there yet because I haven't been given that, because I can't go. I tried on my iOS app. I tried on iOS browser, so opening up Safari on my phone, tried on my tablet, tried on my PC in Chrome, tried on my PC in Edge, and the settings that are supposed to be there based on screenshots that people were pasting in the Discord saying, no, it's super easy. You just have to go here and do this. Well, that thing doesn't exist there. So I have two child accounts that can't play the game. So I think what I'm going to end up doing today is helping them or doing it for them so they don't know how to do this, go and change their age so they're 18 so that they can play the game without any sort of parental controls. And then after, when the settings that are supposed to be there are there, I'll then be able to allow them to play this game. So my hope is that we'll have some three-player Rainbow Six Siege later. But I've been fighting the parental control game, which I didn't realize was free DLC that came with the deluxe edition that I bought. But what a bonus getting that as free DLC.
I you know, I will say that before you do that, I would call Google, and they have, like, Stadia has really, really good customer support. Like, when you call, you usually get through pretty quick, and they're usually very, very helpful. So they might be able to point you in the right direction if you, because, you know, whenever you're, like, Google support pages are terrible. They, you know, you go there and you're like, that's not, like, I can't find that thing. Like, the other day, I was making a video, and I was like, I'm going to make, like, a members list at the end of the video to thank all of the members. And I could not find a way to get that information. And I went to all of the different Google support pages, and they were all zero help. So I just gave up, and I was like, all right, I'll figure it out some other time. But right. Anyway, so... You're really enjoying the game. And who's the character that you've been playing the most? That you like the most?
The character right at the top called Random. That's kind of who I've been playing with. I haven't really been focusing on any of the operatives. I've been trying to learn all the different ones and seeing what will play best with my play style. Because I'm not, like, when I play games like Overwatch, I'm not a healer. When I play Team Fortress 2, to call back a game you mentioned, I'm not the healer. That's not my character class. So characters that have more of a support role, I'm just terrible with. I'm not playing with them the way that I should be playing. Mm-hmm. But then I'm trying to figure out what other munitions are really super powerful. And there really is no super powerful. Otherwise, everybody would always be that operative. Right. So I'm just trying to figure out what should be my favorite one. I like the ones, I can't remember her name, the one that makes the hologram that...
Alias? No, something like that. Something where it's like a copy of something. But yeah, she's great.
Yeah, because I make her so, like, my foot is sticking out in a place that I know people are going to see. And then if she gets targeted, it marks that person on my map. And then I immediately or on my screen. So I immediately know where this person is. And that's been a lot of fun to play as. But yeah, all the characters, like, for having a loadout of, like, two guns and a grenade, all the characters are very different with what mm-hmm. their standard loadouts come with. And it's also kind of tough to jump in with people that you know have been playing this game for 5 years, because they have, like, all the crazy skins. And it's like, okay, that person's put some time into this game. Okay, no wonder I died. I guess I can use that as kind of an excuse. But I think what this game needs in the coming weeks is a free play weekend. I think that would be really good for Stadia. Bring back that $20 deal, or keep the $10 deal that they have going right now. Have it for a free play weekend, because this is a game that both me and you said, we're not going to like this. It's not for us. This is not a game that we're going to play. And that is proven false, 100% false. So I think if they did that on Stadia, they might get some more players, which would be good, because I've noticed playing against PC people, there tends to be a little bit of people shooting me through walls that aren't shootable, or they come around a corner and they immediately give me a headshot when there's no way they could have possibly ever saw me, because there's a lot of cheating on the PC servers. So.
Yeah, you can see people getting constantly banned, and like the upper right hand corner will be like, this person's been banned by Battle Eye, and it just like it keeps happening over and over. I'm like, it's not a free to play game, so people are throwing their money away at this game in order to cheat. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
It's so weird.
If I were to make any one change to the game, it would be that let me queue up for a specific map just so that I could play just on this map, so that I could learn that map. I feel like there's so many different maps in the game, and I'm constantly going through all of these different maps that I never really get a chance to really understand. This is the good spot on this. This is the bad spot over here. Don't bother fortifying this wall because it doesn't really matter. They can't come in through that way. So all of that stuff, I'm struggling to learn that stuff because I can't say, only do this map. Now, of course, there is a solution where I could do like a private game, and that's fine, but I would just prefer if I could say, just queue me up for this, or just queue me up for defense, just so I could learn that, and okay, now just queue me up for attack. So there's changes like that that I think would really make this game even better for newbies like me. But seeing as how the game's been out for 6 years and people have slowly learned all of the ins and outs, I feel like that makes it even harder for new people. But I'm having enough fun that I'm going to keep playing. And if you want to play with us, join our community Discord. There's a link in the description down below if you're watching over on the YouTube channel. And we've been having an absolute blast. So join up on the Discord, and maybe you guys can, you know, carry me, because I'm going to get killed real fast.
Just word of warning, if you join my team, I may shoot you in the face when I try to not shoot you in the face. But because of the bloom on the gun, you accidentally shoot someone in the face. That was Richard was giving me the gears. So I was like, okay, I can't hit anything, eh? And I pointed right beside his head and I pulled the trigger. And because of the bloom of the gun, I actually gave him a headshot instead of just one over the top of his head and hitting the wall in front of where he was looking, which was the big plan. So yeah, I may team kill every once in a while, but I don't mean it. I'm doing it in the nicest possible way of doing team kills. But yeah, you might not like that too much.
All right, why don't we talk about the pro games that came out this month? You want to list these off?
Sure, because one of the other games that I've been playing a bucket load of is one of the pro titles. So I'll go through the list real quick. If you want to claim this month's games, you can choose or claim them all. Moonlighter, that's a game I've been playing. Terraria, a game that I put like 150 hours into on Stadia. Fantastic title. The Dark Side Detective, an amazing, amazing point-and-click adventure game that is supposed to give you the feels of late 80s, early 90s adventure games. Fantastic, fantastic title. And the only game out of all of them that I haven't played is Street Power Football, which is a kind of like FIFA Street sort of game on Google Stadia.
Yeah, so talk about Moonlighter, because I saw that you posted a first look for that game. Tell us about that game. We've talked about it in the past, and I've played it as well, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so Moonlighter, if you're not familiar, it's a roguelite dungeon crawler. So you're going into dungeons, you're killing enemies, you're collecting their loot, and when you die, or if you can transfer back before you die, which is even better, you get to take some of that loot back. And then the second part of the game is a store management sim. So the game has two parts. You're going to dungeons and collecting monster bits, and then you're going back to town and selling those monster bits for as much profit as you possibly can. Then you use that money that you get from selling the monster bits to upgrade your equipment, buy new equipment. You can use it as crafting materials for other equipment, to hire people back to the village that you're in. And you, it's kind of a game of two games, which is really unique. I played a lot of it back on the Nintendo Switch when it first came out, and didn't get super, super far. Like, I didn't beat the game. I got to through some of the dungeons and had some fun. But there's just something about Stadia when you can start a game in 30 seconds and you can be playing it, and then 5 minutes later, you can stop playing it. It's perfect for me for games like this. So I've been playing, I played probably 3-4 hours of Moonlighter, just absolutely loving it. And there's something fun about finding the exact amount of overcharging that you can do and still have people happy. So you can kind of eke out as many single coins as you possibly can to do your upgrades, and then go back to the dungeon and collect more bits and do stuff like that. So yeah, Moonlighter is just a fantastic title. It's a game that I think and every gamer should at least try, whether you're going to enjoy it or want to play roguelite dungeon crawlers. This one, I think, has enough different going for it where it's different than pretty much anything else out there that thought as similar. So I think it's a good title for people to check out if maybe you are looking at the retro graphics and wanting to skip it because they're all pixelated pixel art. I think it's a game that everybody should play. It is really, really good.
I played it a little bit. I think it was on PS4, and I did enjoy the dungeon crawling aspect. I wasn't a huge fan of the store selling aspect, but I think that there's a lot of people out there that really, really, really enjoy this game. In fact, mm-hmm. I know that, like, when I was playing tons and tons of Rainbow Six Siege this week, I would often be like, all right, who's on my friends list that's also playing this game? And so I would bring up my friends list, and I would see playing Moonlighter. So lots and lots of people are really enjoying that game. So yeah. Moonlighter, very, very cool game. Not really for me, but you know, you mentioned something that is definitely interesting about this is one of the things about Stadia that's so cool is because there's no download, the barrier to entry to trying out a game is extremely low. Like, yep. I don't have to commit any time to download. Like, if I'm playing on my Xbox, I love my Series X. I think that it's a fantastic system. But if I'm downloading a game, that means I can't play any game that's online. So that means that I can't really use my Xbox the way that I would like to use my Xbox. And so downloading games is a huge pain in the rear. I'm constantly trying to manage. Okay, well, I don't really want to download this because it's so huge. And then if I don't like it, then I'm just going to have to delete it. And it's kind of a pain. That's a pain. That pain point does not exist on Stadia, which is why I claim every pro game, and I try way more of them than I otherwise would. Like if Moonlighter was on Game Pass, I probably wouldn't try it again. I've already played it a little bit, and I was like, oh, it's okay. But on Stadia, it is on Game Pass. Okay.
That's what my son, he saw me playing it on Stadia, and he's like, well, I want to play that too. And he went and downloaded it on Game Pass.
Well, there you go. So. Yeah. But it's on Game Pass, and I wouldn't bother to download it because I don't want to wait for it. But with Stadia, I can be like, well, I'll just try it out. And like, there's that low friction is huge. And a lot of people just forget about that low friction.
Yep. It is one of the best things for me on Stadia. Besides the fact that I have games with me wherever I am, if I have my phone on me, I have Stadia games with me wherever I am. But yeah, just the ability to say, I want to play something, but I don't have a lot of time. I want to clear my brain because I'm dealing with some other stuff or doing some yard work, and I want to come in and do something different. 30 seconds later, I'm playing something. If it's a quick game like Moonlighter where you can pop into the dungeon or set some stuff up to sell and then save your game and then quit out and go about your business. There's something really good about that. I used to use my Switch for that a lot, but then I'd have to carry my Switch with me wherever I go. I have a phone on me, so I have Stadia with me wherever I go. I don't even have to think of carrying it with me. May not be the best controls unless I have my backbone handy or whatever, but the fact that it is that easy to jump in or just use my PC with mouse and keyboard, it's awesome. I really love it for experiences like this. But yeah, between Moonlighter and Terraria, I've probably already spent like hundreds of hours on Stadia playing these games. Dark Side Detective is a great game, and I'm sure Street Power Football is a good game. I just haven't played it yet because just not a huge soccer fan. So, but this is a pretty diverse collection of pro titles for this month.
Yeah, it was funny, and you know what? That's a thing about Stadia Pro is they almost always have something for everybody when they announce that stuff. It's always something where I'm like very excited about this game, and then this game I could not care less about. But right. Speaking of games that we may or maybe not could care that we could care less about or could not care less about, somebody in chat, like before we were live, somebody had said, I'm not even going to claim Street Power Football because I don't want to have to deal with the fact that my library is so hard to manage because there's so many games that we have right now. And, you know, if you're playing on the Chromecast, it's just like a one row going across and it's kind of a pain. And I totally get what they're saying. You know, we're running a poll in our chat right now about what's your favorite pro game this month. And Moonlighter's at 34%. Terraria's at 20%, 26%. Darkside Detective is at 24%. Street Power Football is way down there at 15%. It just changed. So I think that I'm wondering if people have tried that game and have decided that it's bad, or if everybody is just like, I don't care about soccer, so I'm not going to try that game. And it's right. Very, very interesting, because for me, I know that I don't care about soccer, so I probably am not going to enjoy the game, so I haven't tried it yet. The same thing that you just said. But I feel like I owe it to the game to give it a chance, because there's no friction. All it'll take me is 15 minutes to decide if this is fun and I want to keep playing or if it's terrible and I'm not interested. Right. So I'm definitely going to try out Power Street Football. I can't remember what it's called right now. later on this week, and maybe I'll report back on next week's episode.
Sure. And one thing that I want to bring up about Stadia Pro titles, which is a little disappointing for some people out there. June 30th was also your last chance to claim SteamWorld Dig, Ari and the Secret of Seasons, SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom, Pikiniku, and Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. So they lost two big games in SpongeBob and Resident Evil. So it'll be interesting to see how Google comes back from that. Are there other big deals that they have in the works for that? Because I can remember the ad that was shown in the Google stores. They had both of those games pictured pretty prominently as part of Pro, and then now it's not part of Pro anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the rest of the summer to see what Google is going to throw at us. But yeah, anyway, Pro is such a good deal anyway. I claim them, so I'm not going to complain too much about it. But I know there's maybe some people out there that are looking at these ads and saying, well, I can't get SpongeBob anymore with my free Pro subscription. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Google does in the coming months to kind of beef that library selection back up.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to my son about Stadia Pro. And because we've both been subscribed since the beginning, and we were just having a conversation about it, and I was like, we have 90 games in our inventory. Mm-hmm. Even if we hadn't bought a single game, we have 90 games from Stadia Pro,
right?
Because we've been subscribed. The thing, like, people are always trying to compare Stadia Pro to Game Pass, and like, it's such a weird comparison, because with game, like, it's very, very different subscriptions. With Stadia Pro, you are continually adding to your library. With Game Pass, your library is constantly changing, and that is a very different value proposition to me. And there's definite advantages and disadvantages for both, but over a long period of time, if you're really going to be subscribed for an extended period of time, and I think most people are going to subscribe to both Game Pass and Stadia Pro and stay subscribed for a long time, but if you're subscribed for a long time, Stadia Pro just keeps getting a better and better and better value, whereas Game Pass, which is a ridiculously good value, kind of stays the same the whole time.
Sure. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that. They're two very different services that are always compared as competing services, where they're really not. Game Pass is fantastic for what it is. It'll be interesting to see what Game Pass looks like in a year. Is it still the same crazy deal as it was? Are there going to be third parties that are going to pull out? Like, we don't really know. Stadia Pro's kind of been the same, where every month they add four or five games, sometimes three, sometimes six. And you get a lot of titles that then you own forever if you are paying for Game Pass, which is a pretty good deal, because there's a couple games that I wanted to start up on Game Pass and I just realized that they had just left Game Pass. It's like, okay, that's not good. But yeah, two totally different deals.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that and you're absolutely right. There have been games that are on Game Pass and I'm like, it's gonna leave soon, I'm not going to start it then. Like, I won't even start it because I'm afraid that I won't have time to really enjoy the game before it vanishes. And so, like, there's a lot of games that are on Game Pass where I'm like, I'm just going to ignore those, because even though I want to try them out, I'm not interested in buying them. So, right. I don't know. Game Pass is going to have a huge effect on the industry. It's a very, very interesting thing, but there's just a lot of people that don't understand that Stadia Pro is a different thing, and they try and compare them apples to apples when it's really apples to oranges. All right, let's move on to next up on Stadia. So they posted this on, 2 days ago? It's the first.
Canada Day.
Yeah, they posted this on the 1st, and two games that are coming this summer, Streets of Rage 4 and Darkwood. What are your thoughts on this, Lloyd?
Streets of Rage 4 is fantastic. What a great game. Played it at launch. Love it to death. The fact that it's coming to Stadia with the first mini DLC pack is fantastic. That'll be great. I knew nothing about Darkwood, though. So this one is an interesting title that I'm looking into a little bit. But yeah, Streets of Rage 4 coming on, I believe, the 15th. July 15th for $25. One of the best remakes of kind of a retro beat-em-up that you would play a lot in the Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo era. Having that come to Stadia is a really, really great thing.
I'm really excited for this. I've already beat Streets of Rage 4. It's really fantastic. And the new mode that they're adding seems incredibly cool. It seems like they're mixing this side-scrolling co-op brawler with a roguelike, almost, where you have like this arena battle that, like, I feel like it's probably randomized, where they're going to be like, all right, here's your random thing that you're going to do. And then after you finish that, there's a power up at the end that I believe is probably also randomized, that you have a choice. You're like, all right, I'm either going to put my points into strength or I'm going to put my points into speed and like that kind of thing. The art for this game is just so good. Gorgeous. It's all hand-drawn. The animations are fantastic. Everything about Streets of Rage 4 is great, except, and there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with me here, except the music. The music at the very beginning is great. At the end of the game, I could not stand the music. It was terrible. Oh, really? But the beginning of the game music was awesome. I think it was like the last two levels that I didn't like the music, but it's such a great game. If you haven't played it, you absolutely want to pick this one up. Tons of replayability too. Like, you can just keep playing it again and again and again, trying to get better, trying to unlock more characters. What a fantastic game.
Yeah, and they're adding DLC too. They're adding a bunch of new characters to the game as paid DLC. You get one of those characters as part of this package. So I guess it's the new retail package, which comes with a bunch of characters and stuff like that, is great. Dotemu is the company that is producing this. They're also the one that's working on the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. So my hope is that that game comes to Stadia as well. They produce some really amazing kind of retro redone games over at Dotemu and Lizard Cube, which is the main developer, I guess, is the word I was struggling to get at. for this title. It's really good. And if you don't like the music bill, this package comes with the first and second game soundtrack that you can turn on in the settings. So if you don't like the remastered tracks for the second half of the game, you can play with the original ones from Streets of Rage 1 and 2 as you're playing through the game, which is a nice little addition as well.
That is awesome. I will say that most of the music was great. It was just like the last couple of levels. It seemed like, I don't know, it didn't really feel like it fit with everything else. All right, so Darkwood, I had seen this before, but I've never played it. It's got a really cool aesthetic to it. It's a survival horror game from the top down perspective, and it's got like it shows where you can see. So basically where your character is looking, you have like a cone out in front of you that you can see, and the objects block what you can see. So you can't tell what's around the corner in this top-down perspective. I love the art for it. Very, very hand-drawn looking to me.
Yep.
And everything about this looks cool. So I'm definitely interested in Darkwood. I can't remember. Did you say that this was something that you were interested in or no?
Yeah. It's one that I had never really paid attention to. I'm sure I've seen the name and I've seen little trailers for this one. But this reminds me of like a Hotline Miami, but set to like a normal pace, where Hotline Miami is very much it's like boom, 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 throw this, throw that, shoot the person in the face. Okay, level's complete. This one seems like it's slow and plodding, which is really going to ramp up on the survival horror-ness of this title. I want to see more about this one. I love the look. I love the idea that you can't see something that you can't see, and you can only see it if you have your light on them. That's going to make for some really stressful gameplay as you make your way through it. So yeah, I'm excited for this one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just ran a poll in chat and I closed it and now I can't see it. I'll talk about that poll when it pops. Oh, go ahead.
66% of people want to play Streets of Rage 4 and 33% want to play Darkwood.
There you go. So if you want to participate in polls like that, come to the live show and tell people what you think. Streets of Rage 4, I already beat it, so I think I want to play Darkwood more, but I'm definitely going to play both because Streets of Rage 4 is fantastic. All right. Let's move on and talk about the news. Google, it looks like they are hiring. Kyle Bradshaw, he found this, what is it, LinkedIn? No, careers.google.com. He found this ad for a position at Google for a product manager. For a product manager. And here's what it says that the product manager, what your responsibilities would be. Define a strategy and roadmap for which devices we should support. Be responsible for the gameplay and app experience on devices. Launch features that drive real business value for partners. Lead our approach to TV, making cloud gaming available on more devices. Work with vendors to scale the ecosystem of devices which support Stadia's hardware and software requirements. So this is not the kind of thing that you do when you are getting ready to scuttle the ship. I think that there's so many people out there that are just waiting for Stadia to fail because they hate Google for some reason. This is not the kind of thing you do. Like, they're looking to support more devices. And I think that that's really awesome. Like, right now, Android TV, almost all Android TVs can run Stadia. Mm-hmm. Even if they're not officially supported, you can go into, like, the experimental features and turn that on. Right. Then you have the Chromecast Ultras that people have. Then there's, I forget which TVs it was. LG? Was it LG?
I think it's LG and some Samsung TVs, isn't it?
I'm not sure, but there's TVs that like have it built in, and I'm guessing that at some point we'll get Roku. Probably won't get Apple TV, probably won't get Fire TV. Like they're gonna, like, Fire TV is obviously gonna focus on Luna, and Apple TV is just like, get away from me. But but all of these other devices are going to support Stadia. And like, you look at what happened with Google TV, where they've started advertising Stadia on the Google TV, where it's like, hey, I think we talked about it last week, where they're like, hey, you like video games, maybe check out this this game Destiny. It's free and you can play it right here on your TV, which is nuts.
It's, how huge is that? Like, they know what you're watching. They don't, from my understanding, none of the people that are running these Android streaming boxes or Apple TV boxes or any of the ones really keep listing that. Well, Bill, he watched Married with Children, so we know that Bill likes Married with Children, so we're gonna advertise Married with Children on other formats. They keep that kind of trapping of what you're watching on device. But how powerful is it that you watch Tomb Raider on Netflix, and then the next day up at the Up for You, it's like, hey, you watch Tomb Raider. Did you know that Tomb Raider blah, blah, blah is available on Stadia? Click here for a free 1 month trial and you can play this game or whatever game mm-hmm. is like a free download with Pro. That is new marketing that I don't think any other device has really been able to do. I don't think that the consoles even do that, where if you're watching stuff on their streaming apps, that they start recommending games based on what you're watching. And that is the future with Stadia. So maybe someone isn't a gamer, a quote unquote gamer that doesn't like video games, maybe played games in their past. And it's like, hey, you really like this series, I don't know what would be a good example. Or you watch the Castlevania series. Well, here's this game, a hack and slash like Castlevania that you can play and bring people back into the gamer fold that way. It's pretty powerful marketing potential, even without collecting personal data about the people that are using the devices. They'll be able to do that. They'll be able to do that through just on device marketing. I don't think any other box has the capability to do that right now. So that's that could be a good future for Stadia. Yeah. Roman in the chat room, you really like Vikings, so why don't you try this game called Assassin's Creed Valhalla?
Yeah,
perfect example of stuff like that. This is pretty good. And anyway, back to the story at hand, this project manager for Stadia, just like what you said, Bill, they're not going to be doing this if they're ready to shut Stadia down in a year and they're just finishing all the contracts that they've put ink to paper. That's not what they're doing here. Which makes me super excited for the future of the platform. The one thing that's really interesting, launch features that drive real business value to partners. I'm kind of wondering what that is going to be a focus. Is that like the white labeling thing? Is that setting up virtual streaming services for Activision? We're now the Activision Cloud partner, so you can play whatever game on Activision Cloud powered by Stadia or whatever. Is that what that feature is? It's going to lead to some interesting developments over the next little bit, I think.
I think that those are definitely possibilities for what you were just saying, but I also think it would be something along the lines of like the free weekends, like that kind of thing. Let's do a free weekend this for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, because that definitely adds value to Ubisoft or Ubisoft, because more so than on any other platform, because with other platforms, there's been plenty of times where there's been a free weekend for some game and I'm like, I'm going to spend the whole weekend downloading the frigging game. It's 120 gigabytes. I'm never going to get a chance to play it. Mostly I'm talking about like MMOs and that kind of thing. I'm never going to get a chance to play it. It's just going to spend the whole time downloading, and then I'm not going to really have a chance to take advantage of this free weekend. On Stadia, because you don't have to download, you just click a link and you're started. That's huge. And then once people start playing the game, they're like, this game is awesome. I'm going to buy it. Maybe they'll buy it on Stadia. Maybe they'll go and buy it on their Xbox or on their PlayStation or on their Switch or whatever that they happen to be playing it on, wherever their platform of choice is. But that adds value to partners. And because that adds value to partners, then the partners, they're going to be much more very inclined to bring their games to a cloud platform because it is the frictionless platform that there is. Now, I think of all the cloud platforms, Stadia is the one that has the least amount of friction. You do not have to subscribe to use Stadia. For Xbox cloud gaming, you have to have a subscription. For Luna, you have to have a subscription. For GeForce Now, you don't have to have, you don't have to have a subscription. I forgot about that.
Right.
And for Stadia, you don't have to have a subscription. But for, you know, for GeForce Now, you can only play for an hour and then you're kicked off. You just want to try out a game and it happens to be a free weekend, you sit down on Stadia and it's just smooth like butter. You just sail right on through. And it's also, in my opinion, the most responsive and best looking cloud platform as well. But I'm just so impressed with what like the frictionless of getting the onboarding of Stadia. Once people forget that they're supposed to hate it, I think that it's definitely we've got a diamond in the rough here, absolutely, and people just have to find it.
100% agree with you. This is going to be so interesting. It's almost more exciting now than it was at the start when we knew that SG&E was working on their own games and their own tech for gaming, because there's an unknown now that we don't know what they're working on. But clearly they are, because they're hiring a project manager, which is going to be making a lot of money, I'm sure. So it's not like Google's just throwing people that are working in like co-op work terms on Stadia to, hey, see if you can do anything with this thing. They have some bigger plans, and that is really exciting for me as someone that loves the platform.
Although I still am sad about SG&E, because I wanted those cloud native apps, which I still think we'll get them, but it's going to take an exceedingly way longer for those cloud native apps to make an appearance on the platform, or on any platform, now that we don't have first party support. You know, real quick before we move on, we just spent a bunch of time talking about like free weekends and stuff like that. There is currently a free weekend, not currently, there's an upcoming free weekend, July 8th through the 12th for The Crew 2, which is one of your favorite racing games on Stadia, isn't it?
I like it more for the flying than the driving. I love just cruising around that game. If anybody wants to see kind of how I relax when I've had a stressful day, they'll be able to play that from July 8th to 12th. Jump right in on pretty much every platform, and PlayStation, PC, and Stadia. And you'll be able to play that for a whole weekend. The best part about Stadia, no downloads. You don't even have to download a game that you then have to delete because you only have it for a few days. You can just play it, have fun, and then maybe pick it up when it's on sale.
All right, let's talk about a game that I am very excited for. I have not pre-ordered it because I tend not to pre-order games. But Riders Republic on Stadia, thanks to our community member Jem, he noticed that the last gen versions, that would be the Xbox One and PS4, those versions would have a smaller number of players, 20 plus players at a time in a lobby. And the current gen version are going to have 50 plus players. It's going to be 64. Why they didn't just 64, I have no idea. But Stadia is going to be with the current gen systems. They will have 64 players. I don't know why it says 50 plus. That's a weird thing. And Jem points that out in his tweet too.
Marketing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, but why not 64? Why? Yeah, why?
I don't know.
It's so well, weird.
If you say 50 plus, and because you don't fill a lobby completely to 64 every time that you start a lobby, maybe that's why their marketing is 50 plus. But it's really weird. I've played Fortnite enough, and I've had lobbies that have 95 people because they can't find people to fill the last little bit. Mm-hmm. Previously, now they just fill it with bots. But that's kind of how things were. So you were rarely in a game with 99 other people. I guess this is their way of marketing. I don't understand it, though. It seems kind of weird and odd that they would do that.
But the highlight here is that Stadia is going to have the same number of players as the other current gen platforms, the new things, the Xbox Series X and the PS5, which is really, really fantastic. If you look at games that have been on Stadia that have also been on other platforms, a lot of times we've been getting the last gen versions on Stadia. And the reason, and I'm not an engineer and I don't have inside knowledge here, but my guess is the reason is because developers are struggling to figure out how to get this new hardware that they're unfamiliar with to do the things that they want it to do, even though it's got this many teraflops or whatever. The developers are still struggling to figure some of that stuff out because it's a new platform, which is a very, very important point. So as time goes on, that difficulty is going to continually go down and get easier and easier on publishers and developers as they figure out how this stuff works, as they learn all of the tricks and tips and tricks on how to cut corners and make things work the way that they want. And it looks like Ubisoft is saying, look, we've got it under control. Division 2 was probably one of the best ports on Stadia. It runs beautifully. And, you know, Riders Republic is going to have the same number of players as other platforms. I'm very excited about this. Anything to add before we move on to the last story?
No, I'm really glad that we're seeing the switch to next gen things instead of previous gen things. I was hoping that would have come a little bit sooner, but I'm glad that it's here now, and that's really exciting for the future.
All right. The last thing that we're going to talk about today before we get to your super chats that you guys have been sending in throughout the show. Thank you very much for that, by the way, is speaking of, you know, version parity, Dirt 5, it's already on Google Stadia, but now it's been updated and it's on the same version number as all of the other platforms. So previously, Dirt 5 was on an older version and like the other platforms were on a newer version. Now that's no longer the case. And, you know, the dirtgame.com, like they updated this and they said, hey, check it out. We're all on the same level playing field now, which is fantastic. I think this is the kind of thing that we're going to continue to see more and more and more of. The most famous version of this is out. What's the name of it? Outriders, where we're on a that's the shooter. Which one's the shooter?
Outriders. Oh, Casters is the other one.
Right. Okay.
Outriders is the shooter. Yeah.
Right.
Keep getting confused for that.
Yeah. Where Outriders is, you know, where like Stadia is on a different version number, and that's why crossplay doesn't work and that kind of thing. So, I think as time goes on, that's going to continue to change, and I think that that's awesome. So I just wanted to let everybody know about that. If you're big fans of Dirt 5, well, go get some money. Go get money.
Yeah, it's the previous version on Stadia was feature complete up until January of 2021. Now the version is the same, and they're going to be adding the other live updates that haven't made it to Stadia shortly. So as long as you have the year one edition, you get the full Dirt 5 experience based on all the other versions, so you don't have to feel like you're missing out on anything, because you're not. You're gonna have all the stuff, which is really great. This game is so beautiful. I really want to play it, but I also really understand that I don't get a lot of play out of racing games that are just racing games. That's why The Crew 2 is a better one for me, with planes and all the other fun stuff that's in it.
Gotcha. All right, let's move on to our super chats. These are messages that people sent throughout the show, and we really do appreciate the support. It's awesome, and you guys are great. So number one, Anthony Talcott sent in. He says, hey guys, so I have, first off, he sent in a super chat, so thank you very much for the support. He said, hey guys, so I have a CCU, which for those of you that are not in the know, that's a Chromecast Ultra. That's the thing that comes with a Premiere Edition. I have Chromecast Ultras everywhere in my house. Is Google TV supposed to replace the Chromecast Ultra? Is it more powerful? If I get a chance to get one, should I? So knowing Anthony Talcott, I'm actually surprised he doesn't already have these because he buys everything. go ahead, Lloyd. What do you want to answer this?
So CCU is a dongle that you stick on the back of your TV to catch streams from your mobile devices. That's really the only reason why it exists. It was or from your PC as well, you can send streams that way. That's why Chromecasts exist. Google TV is a set-top box of sorts for internet streaming stuff. So if you've ever used an Apple TV in the past or a Roku, that's what the Chromecast with Google TV is. It runs Netflix. It'll keep track of what you've watched on Netflix and Disney TV. It'll make recommendations. You can install other apps. So if you're looking for that type of thing on your TV using a physical remote, that is what the Google TV would be really good for. If you're someone that doesn't ever do that, if you do all the navigating on your phone, maybe Chromecast is good enough for you. But I'll say Stadia's performance on the Chromecast with Google TV is much better than on my Chromecast. The HDR looks better. Everything seems smoother. I don't know if that's just me looking at it now saying, oh, this looks good, and forgetting what it looked like prior. But the box itself is much more powerful than a Chromecast. It's actually running an OS, not just a very locked down OS that is really there just to catch streams. So the Stadia app is a lot more functional. It's way faster. It really all depends what you want, Anthony. But if you do pick up a Chromecast with Google TV from the Google store, make sure you pick up the adapter that has the Ethernet port in it, because you definitely want to have this box on a direct line into your Ethernet system, not through Wi-Fi. Even though it supports Wi-Fi 5 and it is a lot faster through Wi-Fi than the Chromecast was, you still want to be on Ethernet if possible.
Absolutely. I think that once they get rid of every Premier Edition, they will either make a new bundle that comes mm-hmm. with that, or they will just say, okay, we only sell the controllers by themselves now, and you can just use it with whatever you happen to get. I think it's a good idea for them to bundle those two things together, because you're going to get people who look at that and they're going to say, oh, well, I mean, I guess how much would that bundle cost? Probably $120, you think?
Something.
Oh no, because got to include the Ethernet adapter too.
Yeah, which is an additional $15, I think, on top of that, right?
I think it's
$15.
I think it was $30.
What's it?
I can't remember. Somebody in chat can look it up for us while we're thinking. So you got the controller, which is $70, which is kind of pricey for a controller, but it's pretty awesome. It's a great controller. Then you've got the Chromecast with Google TV, which is $50, and then the Ethernet adapter, which is X dollars, which I can't remember. you put those three things together and you throw, like, that is a pretty good value proposition if you price that right. And you're going to get a lot of people, they look at an Apple TV and you look at a Google TV, and if it, like, for the same price, you could get, for less, you could get all of those things, or you could get an Apple TV. And I think that there's a lot of people who are going to look at that in a store and say, well, okay, I'm going to get this thing. And it comes with a controller too. Sold. I mean, that's really good. Chris in chat says, I don't know. Offering hardware is confusing for the masses. A lot of people think you need extra hardware for Stadia. That is true. There's a lot of people who think you have to have a Stadia controller in order to play Stadia. And that right there is absolutely a marketing issue for Stadia. Like, they need to get that information out there. Phase 10 Minecraft in chat says Ethernet adapter is $20. So it was like right between where you and I were talking about.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you do need hardware if you want the person to play on TV. You're always going to need some form of hardware. Because you can't hook up a keyboard and mouse to your TV yet. I mean, I guess you can through a USB hub, and that's not something Google would ever want to walk people through.
Well,
so you are going to need a controller.
Yeah, what I meant is
I'm going back to Chris. Offering hardware is confusing. I don't think it is if your market is the TV people. You definitely want them to play with a controller. So you're going to need to market that. What I want to see is pop-ups in the Chromecast of Google TV. Hey, play this game. Oh, you don't have a controller? Here, get a controller for $30. It'll be there in 2 days.
Or use a controller you already have. Like that should be on there too.
I think that's what it walks you through. When it walks through that process, you can use controllers that are already there through Bluetooth if you have this one or that one. They're pretty good about the onboarding on the Google TV, but that would be a really great place for them to sell cheaper Stadia controllers right from the TV and have it arrive in a couple days. I don't know, man. They have such a great path in front of them, and they just need to capitalize on all this stuff, both for Google to make some money, but also to grow and expand the platform so all of us can benefit from that expansion. I'm really, really excited to see where the Chromecast Google TV goes. What I really want that device to have is my link code always on the screen, so I don't have to remember what my link code is between devices, mm-hmm. and the ability to start Stadia on the device just by connecting a controller. I'm sure all those things will come down the road. What they've done right now with Chromecast Google TV is pretty decent.
It is. You know what I would like to see them do as far as marketing? Is I would like to see them find non-state, like, look, this week when Google, you know, like retweeted my stream and came in and like Stadia was in chat with us, which was really cool. That was fantastic. Yep. I would really like them to also get more streamers and content creators and make sure that they're not using a Stadia controller and have it get them to try it out and talk about it and say, yeah, I'm just playing this with my Xbox controller in a browser. Because there's a lot of people out there who, like, because they only read headlines and ignore stuff, they don't know that you can just play it. Yeah. Like, that whole thing that they did, I don't know, like, halfway through last year where they were, like, they did some kind of, it was right around when they did the good stuff. They did a thing where they were saying, you've got the stuff you need to play, or play on the stuff you have, or something along those lines. I can't remember exactly what the phrase was. But they haven't revisited that. Like, that should be a thing that is constantly being talked about by Stadia. By the way, you don't need to buy anything. You already have everything you need. And unfortunately, they really don't. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Thank you to Jem for sending in two super chats. No message from Jem, but he's awesome. Thank you very much. What's up, gamers, is what he always says. Consino. Send in a $10 super chat with no message. Thank you very much for the support. And Bulls for Life just became a member. I remember back in the day, I loved the Chicago Bulls with Scottie Pippen and Jordan. And that team. I love them. So way to go, Bulls for Life. And I don't even like sports. All right. Two Dogs sent in a super chat. And they said, can you add friends from other devices on Rainbow Six Siege or restricted to just adding Stadia friends? This is a great question. I don't know the answer. I haven't tried to add people from another platform. Have you?
I know it uses your Uplay friends list for some of the matchmaking, but on Stadia, you can just go to your friends list and invite people from there. So I think that's how it is on other devices as well. If you're playing on Xbox, you can add your Xbox friends or your Uplay friends, I believe. I'm not positive on that because I haven't really looked into it. I actually haven't added anybody. I've only joined other people. So that is a really great question, Two Dogs. Maybe we can look into that and report back next week for you.
Yeah, because when you hit the Y button to invite people, it only shows the people on your Stadia friends list. It doesn't show any. Well, I mean, but I don't know that I have anybody that's friends with me on the Ubisoft thing because I don't really play online Ubisoft games very often. Mm-hmm. So I'm really not sure. Timothy Gray in chat says, yes, you can add people from another platform. So maybe Timothy Gray is correct. I hope that they are. I really appreciate that you gave us an answer there. And Two Dogs says, happy 4th from the North. Two Dogs, I'm guessing, is from Canada. So happy Canada Day from the South, even though that was, you know, a few days ago.
A few days ago, yep. Yeah, definitely. Phase 10 Minecraft says, for right now, you can only add Stadia users. They said inviting people on other platforms is coming later. That could be entirely true as well. I know they're doing kind of a slow rollout of their cross-platform play. On Stadia, you can play with PC people or Stadia people. Maybe they're going to make it so you can do those invites. And Luna, of course. Well, Luna's using the PC version, so I kind of lump Luna in with the PC client for better or worse. I think that might be how it is. I'm pretty sure I saw someone's Uplay name, but that might just be how they display other platforms when you're playing against them, when you're playing with PC people, potentially.
Mm. Anthony Talcott asks one more question before we get out of here. He says, can I use the adapter for Chromecast Ultra with Google TV? No, you cannot. The Chromecast Ultra with the Google TV has USB-C. The Chromecast Ultra has USB-B.
Micro USB or whatever.
Yeah, USB-B micro or whatever. You cannot do that. Now, I haven't tried to do like some adapter workaround or anything, but I will say that I saw somebody had posted on the subreddit that you can use like some other USB-C solution that you have. Like you don't have to get the official one, although I personally wouldn't use anything other than the official stuff, but I've always been like that.
The good thing with USB-C is there's a lot of standards for different devices. So as long as that device you have conforms to the standard spec for Ethernet or the standard spec for a USB hub, you can connect other devices. I've seen people that have even tried connecting keyboards and mice through a USB-C hub and then have an Ethernet adapter and plug in a USB drive to watch videos on VLC. All that stuff works because it is just running Android TV. But if you want something nice, just buy the official one that just has an Ethernet port in the power adapter, and you know, won't even have to worry about your USB-C hub losing power or dying after a couple months. Like I seem to have, whenever I buy a USB hub, it dies after like between 3 and 9 months. I'm not sure what the reason is, so I don't even buy hubs anymore. I live without if I need more USB ports.
Yeah. I will say this is just like, this is not anecdotal, but for me, I avoid third-party solutions because of what happened with the Nintendo Switch, where they had like these docks that people were buying, unofficial docks or unofficial power cords, and they were bricking their Switches, not because, and I think it had something to do with the Switch wasn't following the rules of USB-C.
Switch wasn't standards compliant. So when you had a power adapter that sensed the amount of voltage that they could send, they weren't getting the right response back. So they were overpowering the device, which would then kill your dock, all because Nintendo decided not to follow the standards the way they should.
Yeah. So be careful, because maybe the power adapter that you buy doesn't follow the standards the way that it should. All right, that's it for us. Real quick, Bulls for Life is asking if they can add us. Join the community Discord. You can find lots and lots of people to hang out with. There's a link in the description down below. Before we wrap up the show, in just a little bit, Lloyd and I are going to be playing Dungeons & Dragons with some friends of ours. We're going to do it live right here on this channel. There is a link in the description down below. Click on that link. It's going to take you to our D&D stream. That stream is available to everybody, but after the stream, it's only available to members. Just one more way that we're trying to say thank you to our members for hanging out with us and supporting us. So it's been fun talking to you about video games, Lloyd. I think it's time for us to go roll some dice, though.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to rolling just a bunch of ones, if last week is anything to predict with how this week's going to go. So we'll see how the day progresses. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you here on StadiaCast next Sunday.